All right, good morning, everybody. As usual, I'm very excited to be up here, and thank you for being so good to me through this growing period in my life here. But I am excited to be here, and I think God's got, as usual, God has good stuff for us. So we'll just open in prayer quick. Father, I just thank you for this time that we get to come together as a family, Lord. And I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is truth, and I thank you that your word is life, Father. And I just pray that whatever I speak today is your word, Father. And I just pray for open, receptive hearts to receive. And I thank you for the growth that's happening in this church, and that's going to continue to happen in each individual, in Jesus' name. So, I apologize if I cough every now and again. I'm healed. I'll turn my back and cover everything I can. But so my, yes. So my topic today is building the foundation. Thought I was done with maturity and all that kind of stuff, but I guess not. We're going to keep moving. I'm going to keep moving forward with this because I need it. We all need it. So we're going to keep moving forward with maturity, but a lot of what's going to be spoken today is just going to be food for thought. As usual, there's no condemnation here. This is not about condemnation. This is about challenge. This is about growing. This is about hearing the word, accepting it for what it is, and growing in it. All right? So no condemnation here. But we're going to get right into it. The key verse for me today is, there's going to be lots of them, but this is the foundation for what I'll be speaking on. Comes out of Luke 6. Luke 6, we'll start in verse 47. So this is Jesus speaking. Whoever comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you who he is like. He is like a man who built a house and dug deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently against the house, but could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who hears and does not obey it is like a man who built a house on the ground with the foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently. Immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So I want to read verse 47 again just to get that in our mind. Whoever comes to me, this is Jesus, and hears my words and does them. Those are going to be the key phrases I'm going to focus on here today. So number one, whoever comes to me, first and foremost, it's Jesus. Our foundation has to be Jesus. It has to be what he's done for us. It has to be salvation. That's the foundation. And I believe, you know, I most know most everybody here, so I believe we have that foundation in this church. The foundation is Jesus Christ. And his desire is for everyone, because it says whoever comes. We have the choice. Yes, he knows who's going to come, but it's still a choice, and we still need to give people that choice, right? We don't deter people from that choice. We give people that choice and let them come and let them do with it what they will. Matthew 11, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it quick. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come to me, all you labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Choose Jesus in all of this, and everything that's going on in the world right now, and everything that we're experiencing, choose Jesus, because he's what's going to get us through this, right? Not my opinions, not my anger, or whatever you're feeling right now, disappointment. It's going to be Jesus and his love for us that gets us through this. Relationship with Jesus simplifies things. I made my life so difficult for so long, when all it was is I just needed to turn to Jesus and then respond to what he was telling me. You know, it's relationship. It's relationship. Give it to him and trust the process. The process doesn't always make sense. I don't always get it, but he's God and I'm not. He gets it. Trust me. He gets it. He knows what he's doing. His ways are good. What he has for us and what he has for each individual here is good. It's good. So trust him. Trust that process. Second phrase, and here's my words. So this is not just a head knowledge. This is a heart issue. His words take root in a soft heart, a soft, receptive heart, right? The more we close off, the more we harden, the harder it is for his root, for his word to take root. You know, the sower and the seed. Over in Mark 4, read it if you'd like. But the sower and the seed, we had all the different ground. We had the hard, stony ground where the roots couldn't go deep. And when hard times came, they just shriveled up. You know, they had the ground, they had the path where the seed fell, and immediately Satan came and stole the word from them. We had the thorns and the weeds, you know, the cares of this world that choke out his word. There was only one piece of ground that received his word. It was the good ground. It was the tilled ground. It was the soft soil. Because that soft soil knows what to do with that seed. Right? That seed can take root and go deep. Good ground produces fruit. Let's let our hearts be good ground. Let's get rid of preconceived ideas, because I had a lot of them. And let's get into the word. If there's something we don't understand, let's ask somebody. You know, it's amazing the things that I came up with in myself when I was struggling and when I, like, just stupid things. You know, we can box ourselves in so quickly about who God is and what he wants for us, and I need to do this and I need to do that, and if I don't do that, he doesn't love me, and if I don't do this, and it just becomes this tornado of just, oh my gosh, what do I do? You know, when that's not what it's about. It's about him. It's about choosing him. Proverbs 7, 2 through 3 says, keep my commandments and live, and my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. The word is just full of wisdom and knowledge. The word is full of everything that we need to walk this life out in fullness and in all things. Let's get in the word. Let it take root in your heart. Let it help you grow. I like what it says in Luke 6:17. It's talking about all the people that are coming to see Jesus from all over the place. And just the last little bit of that first verse says, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. So they came to hear because he had something to say that was worth hearing, right? A lot of times, you know, we think everything we have to say is worth repeating and worth sharing, but it's not always the case. But that was always the case with Jesus. They came to hear, and when they heard a good word that built them up and said, you know what, I can be healed, right? Is what we're putting in others, is what we're speaking into others, building them up and saying, you know what, I can achieve that. You know what? I can experience a different financial situation in my life. I can experience some healing in my life. You know what? I can experience divine health. I don't have to just walk from miracle to miracle. You know what? I can walk this life out in divine health and with divine purpose. That's who we are. That's what's on the inside of us, and that comes through maturity. It just does. Because we have to establish in ourselves that this is about growth, that this is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, seed time and harvest. We plant that seed in our heart. We plant that word out in our heart, and sometimes it takes time. Just through lack of understanding, you know. I mean, there's all sorts of things, but keep walking it out because it's taking root. It's growing, it's forming, it's shaping in you. And then bang, you get the fruit of revelation. And it's awesome. And that, I mean, for me, that excites me. When I'm reading something, digging in, and then I get it. Man, it just makes you want to get in more. You know, because God's word is just so infinite. There's just, you could read this Bible a million times and not get everything that God has in there for us. Because there is just no depth. So don't ever convince yourself that, I've read it. You know, and there's not really anything on there right now that I don't understand. And because I've heard people say it. And it's a, in my opinion, it's kind of a dangerous spot to be. Because when we shut off the word, we shut off that life, right? The Holy Spirit speaks to us through the word. You know, when tough times come, it's the word that rises up inside of you to fight back, right? So we can never discount the word. And so the third phrase here that, and this is what I'll be talking about the rest of the time, and does them. So we choose him, we hear his words, and then we do them. You know, and that's where I stumbled because, you know, I knew the word a bit. But man, did I just block out any kind of advice, any kind of goodness that God was trying to tell me. And I knew full well I was doing it. It's just so foolish, you know. I thank God for his mercy and love and grace. And thank God that he doesn't let go of us and that he doesn't give up on us. We give up on ourselves far too quickly. Because he's not going to. He's not going to. He desires all. He wants every single one of us, no matter what state you're in, come to him. Let's be doers of the word. And this is not a matter of works. This is not a matter, the doing the word is a relationship. Because the more I realize that Jesus loved me, the more I realize what he's actually done for me and what he's doing for me, I want to do. Right? I want to walk out the life that he has for me because it's been so good. And it's not going to change. So when I hear him speak, and am I perfect? No. I hear things and, man, I don't want to do that. I do not want to go talk to that person. And I'm super stubborn sometimes, and I don't. And then I feel terrible. And then I repent, and then I say, okay, give me another chance. And he's always faithful to give you another chance. So don't worry about it. He's not mad at you. He's just waiting for you to say, all right, God, give me another chance. You know, and this is just anything in our lives. You know, for me, it's one-on-one interaction. I could stand up in front of 1,000 people and speak. But man, sometimes that one-on-one interaction, you know, because it's very personal. You know, you find out real quick who you are. You find out real quick who people are. And, you know, it's something I'm growing in and going to continue to grow in. But, yeah. You know, doing the word takes us from being spectators to participants. Because we have a job to do here. If we want to walk this life out like Jesus intended us to do, we have a job to do. But it's a good job. You know, it's not always easy, but it's good because the fruit that is going to come from it is good. It takes us from just hearing about promises and hearing about blessings to actually experiencing them, right? Because if we're just hearing and never doing, we're missing a step, you know? Not that I want to turn this into steps, but it's Jesus' words, not mine. You know, so it's important. And it's not about works. It's not about works. It's about just responding to relationship. And it's amazing. Doing what's asked is just a byproduct of relationship. You know, that's it. Yes, Lord. Yes. Because you loved me first, yes. Because of the price you paid for me, yes. Yes, I will. You know, because of salvation, because of eternal life, yes, I will, Father. I will. If you want, you can turn to James. James 1, we'll be reading and starting in verse 22. James 1, 22, we'll read through 25. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man viewing his natural face in a mirror. He views himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in his deeds. It's not about the works. It's about understanding that perfect law of liberty. That law of liberty where we are set free. What Jesus did on the cross set us free. Free from sin and death. Sin is bondage. True freedom comes through walking this life out with the purpose that Jesus gave you. That is true freedom. It seems opposite because you still are free to do whatever you want. I am free to totally ignore what he's telling me to do. Because is it freedom if he forces me to do anything? No. True freedom is choice. Is choice. Choice to serve him or my choice not to. Right? That's the perfect law of liberty. And guess what? He loves you. If you do or don't, he still loves you. Because what's sending people to hell? It's not sin. It's lack of relationship. It's not choosing Jesus Christ. That's what's sending everyone to hell, is not choosing Jesus Christ. I guarantee we're going to get to heaven and go, oh my gosh, they made it? Like, seriously, I really believe that. Because he who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I guarantee there's some not so great people who got it at that last second, who maybe had a seed planted in them years and years and years and years before. And they were fortunate enough to go, I have an opportunity right now to choose him. And unfortunately, the reverse is true. There's going to be some really good people in hell. Because they thought it was just all about the good things they were doing. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about relationship with Jesus Christ. He's not mad at us over sin. It was paid for, past, present, and the future. It's about relationship with Jesus Christ. And I understand this is a process. For everyone here, we're in a different stage of growth. As long as there's growth, right? As long as there's growth. Because, man, God will take that heart of yours to want to grow and just accelerate. Accelerate your walk. It's amazing what God can do with just a heart that says, use me. I'm willing. Use me. And hang on. Because if you're truly willing to be used, hang on. Because, man, that's just who he's looking for. That's who he's looking for. Stop being stuck by lack of relationship. Stop being stuck by lack of relationship. Because that's what's happening. It's not your sins. It's not the fact that you keep messing up. It's the fact that we just keep turning our back, right? But he's good. He is faithful. He is always there. The minute, the second that you turn and say, nope, this is not who I am. Father, lead me. He's there because he's a good, good God. So we do start out as babes, right? 1 Peter 2:1-2. Therefore, put away all wickedness, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow. So it starts out as the pure milk of the word. It starts out so you can grow. You know, a lot, we can't forget that last little portion so you can grow. So we start out as babes. It's where we start, but it's not healthy to stay there, right? It's not healthy to stay there. Over in 1 Corinthians, I need to turn there. 1 Corinthians 3. You know, Paul admonished the Corinthian church for just staying in this infant stage. You know, they were getting, you know, they were walking in the gifts. You know, read all about it. They were walking in the gifts, but there was no discipline there. There was, you know, it was just a bunch of kids running around, you know. That's really all it was. So Paul admonishes them. 1 Corinthians 3:1, brothers, I could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to worldly, even as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with solid food, for to this day you are not able to endure it. Nor are you able to now, for you are still worldly. Since there is envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not worldly and behaving as mere men? So I think there's a key phrase here, for you are still worldly. They still have one foot in the world and one foot on the spiritual side of things, right? Because we saw up in 1 Peter, you know, put away wickedness, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. And here there's envy, strife, and division among you. That's how the world operates. The world is going to stunt your growth. Wanting to look like the world, wanting to be like the world is going to stunt your growth. I didn't say it, but I experienced it. I can tell you firsthand. You've probably heard from some of my stories, but wanting to be like the world stunted who I truly was in Christ. And of course, there is no condemnation here, but there is a challenge. You know, we have something so much better. We serve a God who is so much better and wants so much more for us. The world just wants to destroy you. That's the only goal, is to kill you. That's the only goal of the world, is to destroy you. You'll never experience true love. You'll never experience peace. You'll never experience true joy walking in the world. You won't. It's impossible. You may experience moments, but I don't want to just experience a moment anymore, because those moments typically faded really fast, because the realization of the rest of your life sets in quick. You know, drinking to the point of forgetting only lasts until you wake up. And then you wake up and you realize what's ahead of you, and then you have a horrible hangover to deal with on top of it. That's not life, and that's not living. You know, depression. Depression is terrible, terrible. Because there's nothing good in your life. Nothing. Nothing you look at is good. Nothing you do is good. Your past is terrible. Your present's terrible. Your future is terrible. It's just death in this life. You didn't even die yet, but you're experiencing death. That's what the world has to offer. Yay. You know, like, it's not super exciting, I can tell you. It's not. We have something so much more, and we can continue to grow in that more. God is always willing to give. Always willing to give. He'll never say no. The only thing holding us back from growing and receiving more is maturity. Because yes, I do need to grow in this if I want to go to another level of this, right? You know, when I first started this journey, the phrase that really set me off was, "Are you usable?" And it was a slap to the face because I had really high hopes and expectations, but I wasn't usable. And like I said, no condemnation, the challenge. Because you can be usable by your choices. We can be usable. Every single one of us can be usable. We are usable. What are we choosing? So once again, the world stunts your growth. The world kills your growth. And that's their goal. That's their goal. So, we don't have to walk this alone, though. And here comes my Holy Spirit. Here comes my Holy Spirit speech. All right. Yeah, because I don't know that I can preach right now without inserting Holy Spirit somewhere, because he's that important. But, right, he's our helper. He's our teacher. So I hear this a lot, that I don't understand what I'm reading. I don't get it, you know. I hear it a lot, and yeah, I don't always get it either. But we can meditate, and we have the Holy Spirit. So go over one chapter, 1 Corinthians 2. So if you want to get the whole gist of this, you can start in verse 6. I'm not going to read it all. Paul's talking about we speak the mystery of God. You know, they're speaking the mystery. They're sharing the mystery of God. You know, no, nobody in that time frame got it. You know, none of them got it. None of them got what they were preaching. But come down to verse 10. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. So the mysteries have been revealed. So go back and read that section on your own time if you'd like. But the mysteries of God were revealed so we can walk a different life. We don't have to ask, God, who are you? Because we have Jesus. We look to Jesus. Jesus was the express image of God. So if we want to know who God is, we look to Jesus. Right? So the mystery has been solved. It's Jesus. And if we want to continue to grow in it, it's Jesus. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man, except the spirit of man which is in him? Likewise, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received the Spirit of the world. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us. These things also we proclaim, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit will teach you. He wants to teach you. I've talked about this before, that funnel. God gave everything to Jesus. Jesus gives everything to the Holy Spirit. There's nothing being withheld, right? It's a straight line. A straight line. God the Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit in us. A straight line of everything we need. But he wants to teach you. You know what? Before you start reading, say, Father, reveal this to me. And if you get on something, that start meditating on it. What is this, Lord? What is this? Go ask somebody who knows more than you. I've asked a lot of questions in the last 5-6 years, and I'm not a question guy. I like to figure things out on my own. But when it comes to this, I ask questions. I should probably ask more questions outside of this, but probably help me be a more rounded individual. But we can ask questions. It's okay. I have learned so much by just talking to people, you know? And it's okay. Because most of the time, people want to help. But I'll tell you who wants to help is the Holy Spirit. Let's put our trust in Him, that what He's telling us is truth. Because He's always going to bear witness to the Word. If it doesn't align with the Word, it's not Him. That's a real easy way to figure it out. If it does not align with the Word, it's not Him. But He's here for us. The Holy Spirit is the power that we walk this life out in victory in. And like I said, I can't get past it. Because I missed it for so long, and just everything I read points to the Holy Spirit. And so when we're looking to grow in maturity, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to help us. He wants to help you. That's the thing. Like, it's not some burden, oh, they're asking another question. I just sat down. You know, that's not how it works in the Spirit. I just sat down. No, He's there. I can picture this. He just smiles when He sees you ready to ask a question. Like, all right, I'm going to impart something to them today. You know, like, I think He gets giddy about that kind of thing. Right? Because He loves you and He wants you to succeed in this life. And success in this life comes through understanding the Word. And when we understand it, we apply it and we do it. We do it. So what does it look like to be a doer of the Word? We have, you know, Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel and teach and do all this kind of stuff. But what's been on my heart lately is, if you want to, you can turn, we're going to read a larger portion, another large portion of scripture here, but turn to Matthew 25. And this goes along with what Pastor Jonah was speaking on for offering as well. You know, you'd like to fit every verse that coincides, but it just doesn't always work out that way. If we had a few hours, then we could, but. So Matthew 25, start in verse 34. So this is Jesus. He's speaking about the end days when everybody's standing before Him. He separates the goats from the sheep. And then, starting in verse 34, then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world. Right there, that's a pretty amazing statement, but that's not my point. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer, truly I say to you, as you have done it for the least of these brothers of mine, you have done it for me. I truly believe that's what our lives need to look like, is helping others. I truly believe, because it's the compassion and the love of Jesus that puts this kind of stuff in our heart. It's what Jesus did for others that we can do too. We can help those in need. But do we trust God when He says, hey, why don't you give them $100? Oh God, I just got that $100. Like, I could use that $100. But hey, just give it to him. There's our choice. Are we doers of the word? Or are we going to shrink back? You know, like, this is just what we can always do. We can help. Right? In your personal life, I guarantee you know people that just need help. And God doesn't care how they got to where they are. Well, they did this to themselves, so I don't really think I need to help them. Guess what? God doesn't care. If God asks you to help, you help. Because your witness and the seed that you're going to plant from it could turn them to Christ. He doesn't care how they got there. He wants them to get out of there. And it's the church, it's Christians that are going to do this. This used to be what the church did, right? The church used to teach. The church used to run prisons. The church helped the homeless. The church fed the hungry. And we gave it away. Or it was taken, maybe. You know, maybe a little of both. But this is stuff we can do. So I challenge you. In your heart, God, what can I do? And I guarantee every time you do, you grow. Because that voice becomes more familiar, right? And those blessings are going to start to bear fruit. And those promises are going to start to bear fruit. But this is who we are. We help those in need. Why? Because Jesus did it first. It always comes back to Jesus. But he is our example. He is who we look to. And when we do it to the least, we're doing it to him. That's an amazing thought. We're blessing Jesus Christ by blessing those around us. I like to try and picture the smile or picture the love that's just, man, they got it. They did it. And just, you know, beaming. This is the kind of stuff that shines our light. You know, we've talked about being light, a light in the world. We can be a light to individuals. We can be a light as a whole, as a church, just by doing things like this. You know, we can do this because God is just. We can do this because God is just. And then one more quick scripture to kind of drive the point home. James 1:27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. So we see it all in one verse here. Helping others and rejecting the world. You know, helping others and rejecting the world. Because we have something better. We have something that we can offer to the world. We have identity. Because I know who I am in Christ. I mean, look at all the people out in the street right now who do not have a single clue of who they are. And they think by getting things that that's going to help their identity. Well, if you just pay me a bunch of money, I'll know who I am. It's just not the truth. It's not the truth. If you give me everything I need, then my identity will take form. No. True identity comes through knowing who you are in Jesus Christ. So my challenge today is maturity, growing. Be a doer of the word, right? Not just hearers. Because what it's saying, James, when we're just hearers, we're deceiving ourselves. Let's stop deceiving ourselves. Let's stop letting the world deceive us into who they want us to be, because they just want to destroy you. We have the life, the spirit of the living God inside us that can affect those around us. But we have to choose to do it. Amen? Amen.
Good word. It's good to hear the truth. There's this one thing that's kind of on my heart that I feel like I need to share to go along with what you said. You know, early on, you said that it was by relationship. It was about relationship. That's why people are going to hell, is about relationship. And then we don't do things to get God's favor. And the scripture has just kind of jumped out at me. And it's from Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be firstborn among many brethren. What is it? It's about relationship, but we're being conformed. The things that we do because we're being conformed to the image of who God is in us. That's what you're talking about. It's all that. It's being conformed. The challenge is for us to be conformed to who He's made us to be. It's like all the struggles that we have, all the difficulties, it comes down to our identity. The devil is a master deceiver. And he has one objective, and that's to destroy the likeness of God. Since the moment that Adam was created, the likeness of God has been in the universe. And the devil's been trying to destroy it ever since. And the only way that God could preserve that is by bringing Christ and having it born again inside of us so that we can be conformed. We are being conformed. We are turning into whom we are in Christ Jesus, because whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed. God's not trying to change you into something you're not. He's trying to change you into who you are. And the best thing that we can do is be doers of the word. Because then we're being conformed. We are being who God has called us to be. I felt like I needed to share that. It's like you are much more than what you think you are. The devil's been lying to you the whole time. He's been lying to me. He's lying to everyone around us. He's lying through everyone around us about who we are. We are the image of God in Christ. God in this world. We are the ones that have hope. We're the ones that have joy. We're the ones that have peace. We're the ones that have the power of God flowing through our lives. That is who we are. We thank you, Father, for your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesse, the gift that you've placed upon him for ministering to us. Lord, increase him. We just ask that you'd increase him, Lord. Help him to see more, to know more, and to be able to do more. Father, let your word abide in our hearts. Help it to grow and mature and become mighty and powerful inside of us to the point that it's affecting the world just as we walk about it. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen.